the epical turmoil, the labor of giants, the heroism and sacrifice of this wildest time in the opening of the West. Your love of the West and your early travels there, and your study of historical frontier days, from which I have profited, have been strong factors in my undertaking this book, and they, like Stevenson's noble words, have made me see the wonder, the dignity, the importance of the subject. For the romance, for the inspiration, I have my own love of the wild desert, plain, and mountain. I have Doyle's stories of sudden death and terrible lust and alluring gold, unforgettable stories. And it seems as though all the labor and violence and havoc of those years have become embodied in my imagination. So here I give you my book, for which I have written all the others, and I do it with hope and dread and fear, and yet with joy. Faithfully, Zane Grey. As was usual with Ripley Hitchcock, given a Zane Grey manuscript, he set about rewriting whole sections, altering the sequence of events and what happened to characters. To give but one example, in Grey's manuscript, Warren Neal fights with the reprobate gambler Durod and brutally kills him. Hitchcock altered this scene and had Durod survive the fight, although fundamentally maimed. Grey accepted these many changes, although they made the story almost as much Hitchcock's as his own, because it was his objective to rise to a higher plane of literature, and he was convinced that Hitchcock's editorial contribution could help him do it. After all, Ripley Hitchcock had been Stephen Crane's editor. Harper and Brothers sold a condensed section of the Hitchcock version of the novel to Blue Book, a prestigious monthly pulp fiction magazine, where it appeared under the title The Roaring UP Trail in 8 installments, from May 1917 to December 1917. Grey's ambition to write strictly psychological fiction in the future, rather than Western stories, would be altered by the critical praise in response to what Harper and Brothers titled The UP Trail. Grey wrote in his diary, "My power and my study and passion shall be directed to that which already I have written best. The beauty and color and mystery of great spaces, of the open, of nature in her wild moods. This decision has been a relief." To Ripley Hitchcock, he wrote on February 20, 1918, "Much good has come to me in the way of significant appreciation since the UP Trail was published. It is like wine." I do not know what the critical reception would have been had Harper and Brothers published Grey's historical novel as he wrote it. One thing is certain. His version contains scenes of unique power and images that will stay with you long after reading it. There is also a psychological depth to several of the characters that was not customary in Grey's fiction prior to this novel, especially in the depiction of Allie Lee, following her survival of an attack by Sioux Indians, and in her captivity with Durod, and her later relationship with her biological father. Moreover, despite the occasional awkwardness in transitions, there is an elemental power in this narrative that was compromised, if not lost altogether, in the Ripley Hitchcock version. For his part, Grey would not revise his view of editorial intervention in his stories until the conflict erupted over the censorship imposed by Harper and Brothers on The Vanishing American. From that point forward, everything changed. Yet thanks to the existence of Zane Grey's holographic manuscript at the Library of Congress of what now is titled Union Pacific, as readers of today were able to put aside all such controversy and experience directly what Zane Grey wrote, and what he himself described so aptly as the blood and lust and death, the epical turmoil, the labor of giants, the heroism and sacrifice of this wildest time in the opening of the West. Chapter 1. In the early 60s, a trail led from the broad Missouri, swirling yellow and turgid between its green-groved borders, for miles and miles out upon the grassy Nebraska plains, westward over the undulating prairie, with its swales and billows and long winding lines of cottonwoods, to a slow, vast heave of rising ground, Wyoming, where the herds of buffalo grazed and the wolf was lord, and the campfire of the trapper sent up its curling blue smoke from beside some lonely stream. On and on over the barren lands of eternal monotony, also gray and wide and solemn and silent